Neither be king or wish your health. Neither be king or risk your finances. Neither be king or risk your vision. Neither be king or risk your business. You will be. You will be.
How
can I live? How can I move? How can I be here without you? How can I stand in the midst of pain? Yeah, I can't go on, yeah, without you. What a company does not go the same. I'm broken before, it's only because I need an empty little path to stay with me. With my heart to all my eyes to imagine I found to stay with me.
I am your humble servant, and I come before you, God, needing your help, not my own will, not my own ability, not my own strength, not my own vision, but God, use me as you see fit, that people may be healed, delivered, set free, that they may be restored, God. Father, I thank you for the restoration of your word. I thank you, Father, for the things that you are doing in this season. Father, we know that we are in a critical time right now where we have to get ourselves in a position where we begin to understand who you are. And number one, we need to know your plan of salvation for this world and for our souls. That we, God, begin to get our lives in order that you may come. When you come, Father, we want to be ready. When you come, Father God, we don't want to be left behind, God. We don't want to be left without work undone, God. We don't want to be left, Father, with harboring anything in our hearts and our minds. We don't want, oh God, we don't want to be left and cast away by the wayside, Father, because of something that we could have easily come to the throne of grace and got corrected, Father. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we arrest ourselves. We arrest our mind. We arrest our soul. Right now, God, touch us right now. That, Father God, anything that's not in line with your word, anything that's in our soul, anything that's in our bodies, anything that's in our mind, anything that's in our spirit, Father, we want to be new. We want to be fresh, God. We want to be the old Sunday, and we want to be the very thing that you call for. We want to be that church without spot or wrinkle, Father. So, Father God, if there's anything inside of us, we ask that you take it out now. In the name of Jesus, move by your spirit. Take it away. We don't want it anymore. We don't want it anymore. We don't want to have it. We don't want it to be a part of our existence, because if it causes a rift between you and us, Father, we want it removed, that we can fellowship with you. That when you call, when we call, that you will answer. Oh, Father, I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing in this season. I thank you for what you're doing in every person and every believer. I thank you, Father, that right now, in the sound of my voice, that, Father, there are many of them that are in need of a touch. God, let that touch be today. Let that touch be right now. I come against every struggle and stronghold that the enemy has over their lives. And we break the curse. We break the assignment. That they shall be healed. They shall be delivered. And they shall be set free. Come on, let's give God a little bit more praise. He's worthy to be adored. He's worthy to be magnified. And he's worthy to be lifted up. I'm so ever grateful to be here. I thank God for healing. I thank God for deliverance. Was feeling a little bit under the weather last week. Just congestion and all kind of things, you know. And I'm just grateful that, you know, God is a healing God.
Yes, it is.
You know, we take it for granted. You know, we look at the things that we can buy over the counter. But God is a healer. You know, God is a healer. And sometimes we fail to just acknowledge him as such. We fail to acknowledge him for the things that he's already set out that he can do. Because we're so quick to go to what we know. But I thank God for him being a healer. I thank God for him allowing us the opportunity to take a little bit of a break. And I'm getting so excited about this event that's coming up next week, our community outreach event. Come on and give God praise for that. I'm really excited about being able to serve this community. The other day, I was able to go out and pass a few flyers out. I didn't really pass a lot of flyers out. And just people just excited about, oh, yeah, yeah, we'll bring the kids, this and that. Now, you know, people may come, people may not. Hey, you know. They do, they don't, they know, but we're going to be here.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We got it in the paper. So for those of you that are on our podcast or on our Facebook channel, I invite you out to come on the 24th between 10 and 2.
Amen.
Amen. I see I got that right. Amen. 10 and 2, we're going to have a great blowout. We're going to celebrate. We're going to fellowship. We're going to pray. We're going to have fun. We're going to eat a few hot dogs and hamburgers and chips and bounce up in the bounce house and eat some cotton candy and do all kind of stuff. So you are invited to come. I don't care if you got something else to do. You better stop by here and come see us. Have a hamburger with the pastor. Come on, brother. So you are invited out to our event. There'll be some other community outreach things that we're doing as well. And this is not the last thing that we're going to do. Amen. This is not the last thing. I'm thinking we'll probably do something before the end of this year, too. Amen. Because God has called us to do what we're supposed to be doing. I'm so grateful that he's equipped us to do this. And I'm going to say something. This thing, I thought about this today. And I'm grateful that God, I was thinking about this. I'm grateful for this. Because, I'm going to say this, and I think about it, it's really simple. We have started the process of getting a 501c3. Right? With a 501c3, it enables people to do things to the magnitude that we're doing our thing, maybe even greater. by having support from the community, from other business partners and things like that to help us to buy the material, to buy, you know, or to rent out whatever tables or whatever we need. Usually they'll use the 501c3 to get those donations from different companies to help them do something to this magnitude. But when I think about it, we haven't even used the 501c3 yet. Matter of fact, it's still in operation. But the funds and everything that we're doing, there's nothing that we're lacking.
Amen.
If I can say that correctly now, because I ain't over the finance, there's nothing that we are lacking. And we're not doing this thing kind of cheap. There's nothing that we are lacking, but it comes from those that have a sincere heart to really bless God's people. It comes from you all. It comes from your tithe. It comes from your offering. It comes from your free will giving. It comes from you just being support, giving your time and everything. And we're able to do this event just based off of the funds from the church.
Amen.
That's a blessing. I don't know if y'all understand that. That's a blessing.
Yes.
Because God is providing.
Yes.
God, we didn't even have to ask. We didn't ask anybody for nothing. If we did ask him, say, hey, how much will it cost? Are you available? Okay, what do we need to do to get the money to you?
Yeah.
That's what I want to operate in.
Amen.
Oh, if you will, if you please, if we just a little church trying to do a little thing for the Lord, can you sow your seed if you can? Because we can't do it. No. God says we're going to do it, we're going to do it. He's going to make provision.
That's amen. Right.
I'm going to give God praise for that. So I'm looking forward to that event. Give an honor to my wife, my kids, each and every one of you in respective places, to my boy Jay.
Amen.
Yeah, gotta give him a shout out. That's my dude. And I see some great things happen with you, man. I feel it in my spirit. I ain't trying to call you out or anything like that, but I just feel something that's evolving, that's far beyond what you could ever imagine. Far beyond what you could ever think. And it's gonna be something that may scare you a little bit, but just hang in there and trust God. Keep on doing what you're doing, keep on having that mindset, and you're gonna get things thrown your way. And it's gonna be hard, it's gonna be rough, it's gonna bring tears to your eyes, but it's all right, God still got you. God still got your back. I don't know why I'm letting you tell you that. I meant to tell you that earlier, but God got you. Amen. All right, let's go and get into the Word of God. And I promise not to be before you long, at least about 4 or 5 hours, but we're gonna work it through. We're gonna work it out. Work it out. Gonna work it out.
That cold, you know.
Because you know, my head look. So it might be 2 hours, maybe. All right. I had church in 2 weeks, y'all don't talk about it. If you can, turn your Bibles to John, the first chapter, 11 through the 14th verse. And we're going to jump down the same chapter of John, or book of John, in the same chapter. We're also going to get to 30 through the 44th verse. John 11. 1 through 14, we're going to start there. John 11, 30 through 44. Say amen if you got it.
Amen.
Amen. So if you have the old school Bible that you took off your mama coffee table, or if you got it on your phone, praise God, nevertheless. John 11, 1 through 14, and it basically reads, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness, now I want you to underline this, he says that this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again.
His disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said her, and after that he said unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said to his disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, he shall be well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your own sake, it's not time to study. I want you to read that old chapter. But for the sake of today, because y'all don't want me to go 4 hours, let's drop down to the 30th through the 44th verse. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and confronted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come, when Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto them, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Say I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where he was, They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee for thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou heard me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, Loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. It's easy for me to talk about how great God is. It's so easy for me to talk about how powerful, how awesome, how omnipotent, how omnipresent, all these fancy things that we know God to be. But there is a side of God that sometimes we fail to acknowledge. There is this swag that God has through the essence of Jesus Christ, this coolness, this matter-of-factness that he has about himself, that he does things knowing the end result. He does things outside of our understanding. He does things outside of our belief, in a sense, if you think about it. For it was written that it says that, you know, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And we brush that off to really just add to this mysterious God that we love. But in essence, if we really get outside of our comfort zones and get outside of the structure that we have created, we will see something that is awesome about God. You see, we operate and we're living in structured time. And I'm letting God do what he does, because everything I'm talking about now is somewhat written on it. We operate and live in structured time, even though we may say, you know, I make my own time, I'm using my own time, I'm getting me some me time, I'm doing my own thing. You still operate in a structured time. Even if you're off work and you say, yeah, I got time off, you are still operating in structured time. What do I mean by structured time? There was a structure for the time frame, the time slots, and the time standards that we have in this world. When the sun goes up, you know that that is morning. When the sun goes down, you know that there is evening. About 1800 years ago, there was a bunch of scientists that got together and they decided to create what they call standard time. And many of you may not understand what standard time is, and many of you may know what standard time is, but you know how if you go to Chicago and you're in Florida, that the time in Chicago, I think, matter of fact, Chicago, because I work for a company that's in Chicago, the time in Chicago is different than the time that's in Florida. And if you're not careful, that thing will mess you up, because when they schedule a meeting, or when they schedule some type of event, or they schedule a meeting with your boss, you may think that you're late, because when you look at the clock, you're looking at your time. And with the time that they say, it says 11 o'clock. And your time says about 12 o'clock. But you have to understand, you're in structured time, where you're operating in the structured time that is in your region compared to the structured time that was in their region. So when it's actually 11 o'clock in Chicago, it's actually 10 o'clock in Tampa. I think that's about right. Something like that. There's something, it's off, I feel like that. Whereas we work for a company, me and Shanae work for a company where they're in standard time. We're in Eastern time. And every time I got to check my clock to say, okay, they said they got a meeting at 12, but it's already 12 now for me. But no, it actually means their 12 time, which is a little bit different. So that means that I'm early. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm early. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that these scientists have built standard time. We have the Eastern time, Pacific time, Alaskan Pacific, Eastern Alaska. All these different structures are the time zones. And it's basically where they look at when the Earth revolves around the axis, and the time frame that it begins to come in light of the sun is what they characterize to be, if you fall into that certain time. So if you're in a certain region and you know, when the region that you're in gets into the sun, that's considered a particular standard time. It all operates in a structured time. A structured time. A structured time. If you are at home and your family members are in another country or another state, you're still operating in structured time. 12 o'clock comes in your area. That basically means that, okay, yeah, it's time for me to try to find something to eat because it's lunchtime. Another structure on another time frame, it may be 8 p.m. over there. Well, okay, hey, it's time for me to try to start getting myself to dinner. Start winding my day up because it's time to lay down. But there's this other thing, as a matter of fact, two other things, that comes called CPT time. And if you know what CPT time is, just throw everything I just said before that out the window, because it don't even fall into it. CP time is when, and you know it's crazy because in Wikipedia, I looked it up. CP time is colored people's time. God bless colored people. I'm one of them. And I operate some time in the CP time. Amen. Colored people time. Well, colored people time is a little different than your regular time. Because colored people time is where if the party starts at 8 o'clock, I'm rolling up there around 10. If my doctor's appointment is about 11:15 in the morning, I will start getting ready at about 11:02. If I have to be at work at 8:30 a.m., I'm getting a quick dash at about 8:10 to get to work by 8:30 when it's already 8:25. But I feel I can make it because they know I operate on colored people time. How many of you operate on colored people time? You gotta put your hands up, because I know we all do. Colored people time is something that has been invented
by colored people.
With the guidelines that only colored people can understand. See, you don't show up to the family picnic on time. Because you know if you show up on time, they're going to make it work. So you got to come and fine tune it right at the time when the food is ready. And it's all ready for you to go in there. Matter of fact, you don't want to go in there and there's a line. You want to go right at the time. Everybody had their first filling because you come with your go place. That's operation of colored people time. Because when you get to go place, it's time for them to start shutting this down. So it's opportunity for you now to get what you need to get and get stuff for other people that ain't come. That's the operation of colored people time.
Mm-hmm.
Man. It's beautiful, isn't it?
No.
It's beautiful. Because it changes when we needed to change. Because even when we're trying to be early, we're destined to be late. If we want to look at the scripture, and with our nation looking at trying to identify Jesus Christ, you know, they would try to categorize him to find out exactly what origin or what nationality our Savior would have been. So they say that, you know, he has this sense of arrogance about him. Kind of know who he is and what he can do. He ain't afraid of nobody. Don't really care about how you feel about him. He knows he's going to do what he's going to do. Well, it's kind of characteristic of a nationality that I've come to know and love is the African American community. Because in that particular nationality, we ain't afraid of nothing. We ain't afraid of how people feel in most cases. So Jesus probably would be categorized as a colored person. Now I'm not getting into the nationality of what Jesus Christ is, but I'm just saying that this may have been the opportunity or the thing that may have happened in this particular scripture. You may have identified him as being a colored people. I'm just saying. Because they say that he has hair like wool. I've not seen most colored people. And I have seen, unless they have some type of element that they use to keep their hair from looking like wool. And they decided to go natural, which is ain't nothing but black cotton and wool mixed together. Colored people. But if you were to look at how this whole event took place, you would identify Christ as being colored people. saying. Just saying it for conversation, just saying it just to kind of make you think a little bit. But in actuality, it is not what Christ operated on colored people time. He actually operated on GP time. Because in the scripture prior to that, it says that Lazarus' death is on purpose and it needs to take place. It needs to take place because of the fact that there is something that needs to be made known. There is something that you need to identify with. There is something that you need to hear. There is something that you need to understand. There is something that must take place because of the death of Lazarus is going to identify the glory of God. That's what it said in the previous scripture. It identifies the glory of God. Now, you would think that how could this God, that is the Father of all things, that know all things, that is in all things, how can there be glory in being too late? He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He's an on-time God. Oh, yes, he is. But he may not come what you want when you want him. But he's always, and he'll always be on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. See, our concept of what on time is twisted. On time means that it happens when I want it to happen or when it's convenient for me. Think about your life when you are looking and you're asking God to touch or to heal or deliver or to provide. And you know you have a deadline that is due by a certain time. And then all of a sudden you say, okay, God, I need you to fix this thing. I'm trusting you and I believe in you. And that's great. We come to God with these things. We come to God with our problems. We come to God with our situation. We come to God with our circumstances. We ask God to move. I need you to touch right now, Lord Jesus. Fix it right now. I need you to fix it. But in our twisted mind, when we don't get the deadline and we don't see God moving or even tripling the water, we get worried. We get scared. We get afraid. We start thinking. We get overwhelmed. God has already opened the door for you, but the resources did not come right on time. The reasons are not coming when you think, I'm rolling over here somewhere. I know. God already opened the door for you. The deadline is set 2 weeks from now. But let me tell you something. The deadline is going to be set and you're going to miss it due to the deadline. I ain't know 2 weeks. So you're going to miss the deadline. You're going to miss it. But here is the thing. Don't worry about missing the deadline. And don't spend your time trying to get God to move in the deadline. You have to understand, he is the resurrection. He is the resurrection. See, it was kind of interesting because when Mary came to him and said, Jesus, if you would have been here, Jesus, if you would have been here, then my brother would not have died. Lord, if you only would have, we told you about it. Why you just didn't come? Because if you would have came right before he would have got sick, then you could have healed his body. If you would have came right at the time that he was starting to get, feeling some type of way and it was getting to be the worst time, why didn't you come then? Then he had to sit back and look at it and say, let the woman. I really want to say heaven, but I'm not going to say heaven. But let the woman. Don't you understand that I am the resurrection? Amen. That's a swag move to me. That's like this cool. That's just like, I am the resurrection. It doesn't matter how things go or where things end up. I have the ability to change the outcome. Matter of fact, I got to do it this way so that you can understand something very important. See, you don't trust God for things as they come. We shouldn't trust God for things to come. Yes, in a sense, we should trust God. And I'm trying to say this so it makes sense. We should trust God for things to come, right? Meaning, if we need something, we should ask Him for it. And number one, we should believe when we're asking, first of all, that He can do it. You got to see, if you don't believe that He can do it, don't even ask Him for it.
If you don't believe that God can do it, then stop asking for it. That's your first thing. If you believe, if you don't believe that God can do it, then don't even ask. Don't even waste your time asking. Okay? Because I'm going to tell you why. Because when you ask him and you don't really truly believe, because the God that you have a little bit of faith and that's good, because the God that we serve, he does say it because his overall purpose is that he gets glory, and GP time basically means that he gets the glory and he gets the praise. He will do things and he will allow a certain sense of delay to take place, whereas you get to a place where now you are worried about the circumstances because you know why? You put too much emphasis in the circumstances. You did not put the emphasis in the God of the circumstances. You did not put the emphasis on the God of this world that can be able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask for things. But here's the power, according to the power that worketh inside of you. Meaning that it doesn't matter when things come your way and it doesn't operate or work in the time that it is, it's still working out the way God has already intended to. I had an experience that I can get, I kid you not. These last 2 weeks, I have seen God do the things that I have been praying for God to do. Y'all don't understand where I'm coming from. My wife knows what I'm talking about. The things that I have been praying, the things that I was struggling with over here, God is not making that thing fall like this. Almost scared.
Amen.
I thought I was about to die. I'm like, wait a little bit. I got phone calls that I never thought I would get phone calls from. And here's the thing. It was about what I was preaching a few weeks back. When I was telling you about letting things operate in this level that's laying in peace. Remember I was saying that, Brother Jay? I was talking about how I control the atmosphere of what I'm in. And everything that's in that atmosphere, it got to level off. It got to be conducive to the atmosphere. How about things starting to line up in that atmosphere? Things starting to just drop off. I pray over here. I wanted God to fix it here. God says, no, I'm going to fix it in the appointed time so that you can see that only I deserve the glory on this thing. See, when God does things in a time that we feel that we should do it, we get kind of arrogant about it because we feel that, okay, yeah, I called upon the Lord and he answered my cry. God heard me. He moved. That's my God. But what about when your God show up on CP time as you think? Now watch God gonna do it. Watch God gonna do it. Watch. I'm gonna tell you something. You said, yeah, God gonna do it, don't worry, not. God got this. You start getting embarrassed. And you like, and everybody else, that's your God. Yeah, he coming. He coming. He coming. That's your God. Well, what had happened was he probably got delayed because he don't want, you know, things to happen. Like, you know what y'all want to be? He don't want to know. He's going to be like, wow, because I'm getting wild. Then you don't know how to feel glory. So he probably blessed some people. And here's the thing. When that midnight hour passed, and you start getting the calls from the people from whatever that circumstances, hey, we need this, this, and this, and now you're sitting in a place where you don't know what to do, and then there's something that's inside of you that's like, okay, wait a minute. This ain't how it's supposed to happen. This ain't how. Then you begin to kind of question that thing, and you kind of go back at God, and you're like, well, God, you said that. Yeah, I said it. And? You said it. Yes, I said, and?
Well, we.
Did I tell you the time frame that I was going to do it?
Nope.
Did I tell you how I was going to do it?
Nope.
Did I tell you that I would provide obedience according to my riches and your glory and my glory? Did I say it? I remember this certain person called me about a particular endeavor that she wanted to do. Oh, did I say that the female? And every time there's a deadline that comes, there's a bit of fear that comes as well. But if I can truly say that God has met every deadline, that's not.
Amen.
It might have been late. But he met the deadline. But I'll tell you what, here's what happens. When he meets that deadline at a later time, he makes up for what you thought was an inconvenience. And he blesses in a greater magnitude. I've seen God do. He blesses in a greater magnitude. Because you have stuff that trickles down for the next season of your life. You have stuff that comes automatically where you didn't even know how it came to pass. You didn't even know how it was going to happen. You didn't even know where it came from. God said, I already knew where it was coming from, and I already got this thing all worked. All you had to do is trust, sit back, and relax, and understand that I am the resurrection. Meaning that I'm the one that can raise a dead thing up when it's sank for 4 days, and all the stuff started to come off, and it seemed to be a problem. And doesn't make sense. I'm the one that can put all that stuff back together and let it come out when it looks brand new. And who gets the glory? God gets the glory. Yeah. I've seen stuff in my life happen like that. 4 days, Jay. You have, if we can't keep meat in our refrigerator for 4 days, or put it on the counter for 4 days, I put a steak on your counter. 4 days. What'd you eat?
No.
I probably went, man, boy, I ain't good. Man, fried real good.
Nah.
You drop it in some grease real hard.
Nah.
Chill off in that table.
No.
4 days. Lazarus was in a tomb for 4 days. 4 days. Now, it may have been longer than that because if you think about it like this, his body had really already started shutting down prior to that 4 days. Because he was sick.
Yeah.
I mean, when you get to the sick, when you about to die, your body will start shutting down. That first day, everything was released.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna be like that, but that's the truth.
Yeah, that's
right. And at that time, they didn't have refrigeration. They put him in a very tomb. Which I'm sure there was, you know, ants given to anything. So there's probably, you know, all kinds of stuff in decay. What am I saying? Is that God sometimes will allow things to get to the point of decay. To the point where you forgot about it yourself. And you have labeled it as what it is.
Dead.
And he will come back and raise that thing up. And show you his glory and his power. If you think about the essence of when Christ came, he says, I come that you may have life, but have it in abundance. See, before he came, we was already there. Our life was no mere existence. We thought that we knew everything we need to know about God. We thought that we needed to, even before we even got saved and really got Christ introduced to our life, we thought we came. We thought our life was bomb. I thought my life was the bomb. Going to the club. Access to strippers, access to alcohol, and yes, I was a preacher's kid. Access to whatever, now I didn't do certain things, but access to pretty much whatever I want, because I knew people. I could have done anything that I want. I would do certain stuff, because I was scared. That was one thing. Plus, I knew that there was something, to be honest, I knew there was a call in my life, I just didn't want to accept the call. But I knew that there was something better than the life that I was living, forcing myself to live, because I was trying to not go into the calling that God had. I was trying not to be the preacher kid. I was trying not to be the pastor's son. I was trying not to be the person that can lead worship and pray. I was trying not to be the Sunday school teacher. I was trying not to be all the stuff that God ordained to be. So I was, you know, I did with that. And later on. My life was dead. But when it got to the point when I had given up on myself, when it got to the point where I got tired of just going to something that was not giving me a fulfillment, when I got to the point where I realized, and it was so evident, you know what, I'm dead. And if I'm in this dead state and Christ came right now, where am I going? Where am I going? Forget about the money. Forget about the cars. Forget about the riches. Forget about the fame. Matter of fact, forget about the embarrassment. Because I said to myself, I didn't want to be one of the people that roll all over the bench and praying and snot and everything and tears and stuff flowing out of them. I ain't me. I don't want to be that person. But I was dead, Jay. Dead on the inside. I wasn't like to a point of like being depressed or suicidal. It's just that I was like, what now? My heart was broken. Lost money. Friends weren't really around me as much because everybody was busy. Life went on. And when Christ came into my life, I remember it so clearly, and I don't share this testimony to anybody. I'm not going to go into detail with it. There was a revival. My birthday, we was coming around again. August 21st, my partner James Peterson, we was getting together. We had a sister party. His birthday was in July. Kobe's birthday is in, no. Yeah, his birthday is in June. No, Kobe's birthday is in July, which is my best friend. James, another one of my best friends, was in June. My birthday was in August. So we decided we were going to have a complete big blowout bash because we knew the strippers, because we were kind of somewhat bouncers. We ain't do nothing with them, we was bouncers. We knew them. They were coming. And I was getting ready to do all kinds of stuff. We had a limo lined up. We was going from club to club because in the summertime, you know, they had little soft things like Uptown 21, for those that know what I'm talking about. Uptown 21, Zanzibar, New Lounge, and whatever else. Manila, whatever else you want to go. It was open. All that. Even the one that's out there waiting. Even the one that's in St. Pete. Even the one that was all different kind of little bars we were going to hit. All kind of stuff. All kind of stuff. My dad said, you know what? Man, I have a revival. I need you to come. I ain't going, man. I don't feel like going. Yeah, I need you to come. All right, I'll try to make it. I shouldn't say that. But I'm glad I did say it. I'll try to make it. Okay, fine. Just come out. They have this. And I knew the lady that was speaking, Sister Saul. I don't know if y'all remember that. Mm-hmm. The real sweet lady. Remember that lady. Came, had this little piece of paper about what's broken in your house or something like that. Your house broken. I remember exactly what I had on that day. I had on some blue shorts that I always wore. My little brown, little black boots, like Portland. I had a little red, blue, yellow, green striped shirt that I would wear, like a baggy shirt. You know, it's kind of sport. That day started ministering, and it was immediately like stuff kind of, first of all, it started out with guilt. And that guilt identified where I was. And when I identified where I was, the light was turned on. The light was turned on, where I had hope again. And so in my heart, I knew I had to accept him. Did I accept him? No, not the first one. I didn't accept the first one. And I was scared. But the next day, I got it. What I'm saying is that Christ comes into our lives and comes to our circumstances, and he begins to give us that glimmer of hope that we've been looking for, that we try to find by putting in certain parameters and certain boundaries. Sometimes he has to go outside of those parameters so that he can see and get the perfect lesson so that it will never be erased from your mind. I'm sure that Mary and Martha don't remember the day that Christ raised their brother from the dead. That is my shoe. That you man can't tell me that. I know this dude. I saw our brothers. He was spanked. I had to wrap him up. I had to wipe the floors from him. And we had to put him in the tomb. I saw him come out of the grave and with no assistance from nobody. That had to be the glory of God. And when you identify the glory of God, you can't do nothing but praise him. That's why sometimes God will come late in your situation. He will come late in your circumstance because he wants to produce out of praise. He doesn't need anything else. He operates in a way that he doesn't need anything else. Only thing that he does things by his namesake. I need them to see that I am the resurrection. That's what he said to them. I need you to see, Mary Martha, that I am the resurrection. Because something is about to happen where I'm going to die myself and I got to resurrect myself. This is just a foreshadow of what's to come. I'm going to resurrect your brother. He's going to be resurrected in 4 days. I'm going to top that. I'm going to do it in 3 days. That's a bad dude right there. That's a bad dude. So, my brothers and my sisters, we don't need to look for God to do it in a certain time. We need to look for the resurrection. Look for God to do it after the fact. That's where the glory is going to be. If it don't seem to work in that deadline, don't stress it. Know that he can do it. He's able to do it. It was interesting. One thing that I like about this particular Bible scripture, about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were faced with a situation where they were raised up. And first of all, they were bought in as slaves. That's what they were captured and bought in as slaves. I'm going to give you a quick synopsis. Captured and bought in as slaves were forced to praise idol gods, but they chose not to do it. Even at the threat of their life, they chose not to serve any idol gods. Okay? They decided to stay true to what they knew, stay true to their faith and their belief. Out of that, by them staying true to their faith and belief, they had many different challenges. One of the challenges was that, the king wanted them to eat certain choice meats. Wanted to eat certain things that came from the altar for the fat sacrifice to idol gods. They wanted them to eat those meats because everybody else knew that's part of the serving of that God. They said, no, we're not going to do that. I guarantee you, we're going to show you something. We're going to prove something to you. Let us have the pulp of the earth and water, just vegetables and water, basically. And I guarantee you that we're fair, we'll come out healthier than the ones that are eating the fat of the lamb and meat and all that stuff you give to our God. So they did that. Came to find out. God showed out. They looked beautiful. They looked stronger and healthier than the ones that was just indulging all those things. They got elevated from there, and then they began to be put in positions. And the king of the Pharaoh, or whoever it was at that time, the leader at that time, said, okay, at a certain time, I'm going to hear that song, you hear this harp, you hear this cymbal, you hear this, whatever it is, this guitar, the keyboard, whatever you hear, I want you to turn to whatever side. I want you to praise that God. I want you to praise that God. I want you to praise that God. Not your God. I want you to praise the God that I serve. They chose not to do it. They got tricked, hoodwinked, bamboozled, and they got put into a fire furnace. So here's one thing that he said. The king had a heart for them. He says, hey, I know all you got to do is just bow down to this God, and I can release his burden and his pressures. I got to do it. I'm the king. I said I'm going to do it. I got to do it. But if you just turn, just get into it. Just get into the circumstance. And just it's okay for you just to say that, my God is better than your God and to serve my God, which is an idol God. It's better for you to say that. Now release this whole thing. I don't want to put y'all in this fiery furnace. I don't want to do that. Just get in. They didn't do it. And this one thing that I like that they said, I can't remember exactly which one it said. He says, King, not careful to answer you on this particular matter, but our God, who is able to do so, can deliver us out of this fiery furnace. But if not, if you don't deliver us, I'm still going to praise him. And I'm still going to serve him, even if it costs me my life. That's the mentality we have to have. If it costs you your life and you're still serving God, I will tell you that here's the hack. Here's the trick. Even though you die, you're really not dead, bro. You actually live. Because you died with your faith intact. And when you die with your faith intact, pleasing the Father, keeping your mind, your heart, and everything in line with the Word of God, then when you open up your eyes, you open up your eyes in eternal life. So what do you really have to lose? The embarrassment of whatever this world wants to give us and what people may say? So what if it don't get to be where I would put all this money and all this time, I would say, all this time and studying for this program, this course. And I get to the next level of my life. God has borrowed from all these other little levels. And I get to the next level of my life, and he doesn't choose to go in the time that I want. Well, I would think that you look at his track record. And if every time you have been to a place where God has brought you one step closer, one step closer, one step closer, and he kept doing things over and over and over again, and in and out of time, even when you was frustrated, even when you didn't really give him all the glory, even when you really didn't do what you were supposed to do, even when you may have put the stuff in a little bit late and everything, you want God to move quick, fast, hurry, you're supposed to put in a few days back, but it actually didn't come in a few days back, that's what it happened. Did that happen to you? Is that what happened? But here's the thing, he does it for his namesake. He does it because he says, okay, you've had a desire. I see what you're going through. I see what you're going through. I see what you're trying to do. I'm going to just do this one thing because I love you so much. I'm going, I got to do it for you. But you got to trust I'm going to do it because I'm going to do it in a way that's going to blow your mind, but it's going to give you strength. I'm going to do it in a way that's going to blow your mind, but it's also going to bring another level of proof to your family where they'll begin to see the struggle that you went through, but also they'll begin to see the glory of my salvation. They'll begin to see that when you put your hand in God, saying God will lead you to that, those places where you will never be destroyed. You will never be ashamed. You'll never be cast out. You'll never be without. You'll never be embarrassed. You'll never be ashamed. For God, I live for God, and I will take you to a place where not only you will see the glory of God and praise me, but you will have a testimony now to share with this other person over here. I'm going to tell you, that's how blessings work. People don't like Bible. People don't like Bible. I'm not being political. People don't like Bible. People show up and don't like it. Thank you. God would use things in certain ways, not for you to get praise for that person, because if it comes from the person that you don't like, that's, you know, that's God. That's who has come from God. When your end is something, man, jam that. I don't know why I'm doing that.
It's come.
I sure didn't want to do it. That's God. That's God. Because God will use whatever he needs to so that you can see his glory. I've had people come to me and say, you know what, the Lord told me to give you this, this, this. Don't even know me from Adam. This girl right here, how did somebody just bless her? I think I put something, oh, happy birthday, blah, 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 blah. Somebody blessed me. Oh, I want to give. God told me to give this girl $100. I said, well, praise God. Praise God. You know what I'm saying? That's how God operates. We've had blessings come from every area of my life and certain things and situations that we knew not about. Matter of fact, this coronavirus. It was detrimental for some. I'm not lying. A lot of people lost their lives. A lot of people. And it was heartache. It was a lot of pain. It was a lot of struggle. You know? Lost family members in that. You know? Almost lost some of my family members because of that. You know? But in the process of everything that was going on, now I'm not saying that he was in. He decided to put this on this earth. I ain't gonna be the same. I don't think he did. But I think he allowed some things to take place so that we could turn our minds and our face and our attention back to him. When they absolutely shut church down, come on, man. You ain't never heard that.
Never.
Yeah. I mean, they shut church. I mean, the Baptist people, the Catholic people, the Jewish people were shut down. And we had to try to fight to get some type of way that we could make them. We got to get the word out. We got to praise God. We got to worship. We may not be able to do it collectively, but we got to worship. And then you begin to understand that God meets you right where you are. God will come to where you are in your own place in your own home, and he'll begin to fill your heart, your mind, your soul, and your whole family if you be diligent about serving. When things are dead, he still resurrects. He still rises up. And many of you have been, it's been an acceleration for some of us into the next level where God is going to be, because God is not dead. He's still yet alive, so there's more work that we got to do. So I'm glad that he comes late sometimes. I'm glad that he decided not to show up at the time that he decided to show up. Because here's the thing, is that when I think that I know everything, and this is the right thing for me, he will shut that door down. And as soon as he shut it down, and I get over my little feelings, and I begin to see through my tears the window that he's already opened up for me. And that window is not the window where you gotta put your leg, this one of them big bay windows that just slide way over here, slide way over there, and you walk right in. Matter of fact, you're thrown in. Sometimes you turn the building upside down and you can fall through the window. That's how I know God is. So I encourage you, my brother, I encourage you, my sister, don't let this stop you. Don't let whatever the situation, whatever you didn't get, whatever didn't happen, whatever people said, whatever people may have thought about you, don't let that stop you. God is beyond that. Sometimes things will happen so that you can understand that God's going to get his glory and God's going to get his praise. Come on and give God praise. I hope this has been a message that has been a blessing to you. If you feel that you would like to know Christ as your personal Savior, if you need to find out what it means to have God operate in GP time, in glory and praise time, meaning that the circumstances and the situation that you're going through and you're constantly going through them over and over again, well, God is here to give you hope and to give you a little bit of relief, to let you know that he still cares about you, to let you know that he's still there for you. And I guarantee you that he's bigger than the circumstances and the situation that you may be in. If there be one that desires to know him as your personal Savior, if you don't know anything or don't know anything about him, I just ask that you just trust him and follow these words and repeat these words and follow after me as I lead you into a place of Christ. Say to yourself, I'm a sinner. And today, Lord, I make you my Lord and my Savior. Come into my life. Heal my heart. Take away any type of frustration. Take away any type of animosity. God, heal me from my sin. Deliver me from my sin. Forgive me of my sin. Today I make you my Lord and Savior. And right now I know that you are the Son of the living God that came to take away the sin of this world. And I believe to you today. And Father, right now, I stand in agreement that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I plead the blood of Jesus over every curse, every sickness, every disease, every generational curse that tries to overtake my family. And even the current sin right now that I may be in, I plead the blood of Jesus over right now that I am free from. So, Father, come, go into my life to uproot, plant out any evil attempt, any evil demonic force that the enemy has tried to destroy my family. It shall not prosper in Jesus' name. If you have said that prayer, then you have been accepted into the kingdom of God. He loves and rejoices with you. We love and rejoice with you. My next step to you, my encouragement to you, is that you find into a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church that is teaching the Word of God and presenting Christ to you in a daily fashion. If you can't find that nowhere, you're more than welcome to plug in here at rcrmi.org. See what we're all about. Join us. We're here. Contact me. I'll be more than happy to pray with you or to talk with you. Let's chop it up a little bit. But this is Pastor B. Right now, we thank you for joining our broadcast. I want to give God praise. We give the glory, we give the praise in Jesus' name. God bless you, and we're out. If there be anyone that wants to decide and sow to this ministry, please give your offering. Offering online.org. We're running back here around. If you want to put your food stamps in, EBT files, go up. But take it.
He went to all the people that work in Saturday, and he got here at 8 o'clock. And everybody, I hope y'all got t-shirt size in so that we can be recognized on that day.